Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. I'm Brian McCallan. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Artist Bazin lost her vision in an automobile accident at the age of 20. But vision loss didn't stop artists from managing food service facilities in the Midwest. And it didn't stop her from receiving degrees in communications and teaching. Vision loss didn't even stop artists from taking care of her family. Artists' communications teaching and training has led her to serve on a number of civic organizations. Two of them include the American and California Councils of the Blind. As the founder of Bazin Communications, Artist provides consulting and motivational speaking services. She's published books as well. Artist's mission is to help her audiences make the impossible possible. Artist is here to teach us how to do just that. Hi, Artist.
Hello there, Ryan.
On your website, www.bazincommunications.com, that's B-A-Z-Y-N, you mentioned that you lost your vision in an automobile accident at the age of 20. What was going through your mind when you were told that your eyesight loss was permanent?
Probably the first thing that went through my mind was that my parents would be upset. My youngest sister had been killed in a car accident just several months before my accident, and I knew they were very upset about the seriousness of my accident, and they were so worried about me being able to cope in the future that my first concern was helping them to recognize that I could be what I want to be no matter whether I had vision or not.
But you worked your way through your vision loss. You went and got these degrees. You got some additional training. Can you talk about these milestones to our audience?
Sure. Actually, when I was in rehabilitation, I had to decide on a new career. I had been a proof dispatcher and a bookkeeper. And when I lost my sight, there wasn't a lot of the software technology, computers, et cetera, available at that time. So I looked to see what career might work for me. That's why I got into the Rendell Shepherd program, which is managing food service facilities. And I was in that program for over 20 years, and I managed a total of 6 different facilities, all the way from just a snack bar to cafeteria, and then a cafeteria with vending machines. And then my final facility was totally vending machines. At the highest peak in that operation, I had 57 vending machines in 13 different buildings.
In California, we have the Department of Rehabilitation. That's the Vocational Rehabilitation Agency, and they have a similar program called the Business Enterprises Program. Speaking of California, your webpage says that you currently hold a number of positions with both the California and American Councils of the Blind. You're the chair of ACB's membership committee, the chair of both CCB's membership and first timers committees, the board member of CCB's governmental affairs committee, and you're also the president of CCB's Glendale Burbank chapter. My first question is, when did you sleep? Oh, no, I mean more seriously. How did you speak out to be elected into each role?
I got involved in the American Council of the Blind when I lost my sight. I found out that, you know, talking to other blind people was helpful, and my involvement in the ACB actually was what got me to go back to college. I learned there were other careers I could do, and the more I talked to other blind people who had led really wonderful lives and done a lot of things, told me that I could do more. And that's why I went back to school. I decided, well, I didn't want to be in food service forever, and it got me to do that. And of course, once you get involved in an organization, then they ask you to participate and do different things. And first, of course, I was in the Iowa affiliate because I was living in Iowa at that time. And then when I moved to California, I got involved in the California affiliate. And so I've been involved nationally in the ACB ever since the early 80s. And I had all roles. I was on the ACB national board for 12 years. 4 years of that, I was the ACB treasurer. And so I've been involved in several affiliates. I also am in special interest affiliates, the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America. I'm currently second vice president, and I'm also vice president of the Ivy Group, which is Independent Visually Impaired Entrepreneurs Group. And I've just kind of graduated into each one as different things I attend and get involved in, and I really like the goals and what they want to do, and so I kind of just tend to hop in, and sometimes I get myself over-involved. I'm really involved in Randolph Shepherd. I help put on their conference that they have in Sagebrush each February, and I guess I just am motivated just because I see how good it is for other blind people, and they can learn so much through the offerings of all these organizations. And that's what kind of motivates me to become involved.
In other words, you're making the impossible possible. And and that's your work. This work, your website says, involves teaching people how to overcome their most difficult life challenges. How did overcoming your own challenges inspire you to speak out to the audiences about overcoming their own?
Well, I guess I learned through trial and error. I learned that by asking friends and family to assist me when I had to was important. Sometimes we tend to think we can do everything ourselves, and I've learned through the years that sometimes you do have to ask other people for help. And sometimes people really appreciate you asking them for help. I mean, not if you call them every day and bug them about helping with this and that, but on occasion, people like to be helpful to you as long as you're not, you know, constantly bugging them. And I also learned that, you know, using humor really helped me to get along better with folks. I could, you know, laugh at myself when I do things stupid or when I make mistakes. And it helps people feel more comfortable with you. I found that, you know, either with blind people and with sighted folks, I have a lot of sighted friends, both in my church and also in my networking groups that I belong to. And I think keeping a sense of humor is good for everyone. You know, I set goals. If I want to move along, then I set a goal and try to reach it. And that's important for all of us. And I think that helps us deal with our challenges.
So there are some strategies and advice that you give to offer your public speaking audience. First, you give your audience members the secrets to overcoming change and coping with their most important challenges. What are some of the secrets to overcoming those challenges and accepting change?
First of all, I tell people to benefit from the help of friends and family. I tell them to, you know, make sure that they use humor each day. I tell them to, you know, create strategies to help them to cope. You know, look at what classes they can take, et cetera. Also, having a positive attitude. If the more positive you are, the more likely you are to reach your goals. Then I also tell them not to let other people get them down. You know, if other people say you can't do it, don't listen to them because they don't know what you can do. Those are probably my key things, besides setting goals, of course. That's always number one.
And they can become raving fans, too. You give strategies for turning members or clients into, quote, raving fans, end quote. What do you mean by raving fans?
Well, your organization or company wants to have people come, whether they're a customer or whether they're just a member. And one of the ways to do this is by having your organization be positive. So you have to have a positive image. And a good way to do that is by looking at your organization as if you were a newcomer, looking at how your members treat members as they come in. Are they friendly and welcoming? Looking at how you do things? Are you inclusive? Do you ask other people to help? Do you try to find things for all people so that everyone is interested? Because I think sometimes it's really difficult to stay in the same rut, don't make any changes. And one of the things that's really important is to constantly look at what you're doing and see if you can do things in a different way to reach more people. And customer service, of course, is, you know, number one. And that's whether you're an organization or a business, church, whatever, if you are not always looking for a new thing to do or a better way to do things or keeping more people involved, you're not going to expand and grow.
You provide some advice on employment-related subjects. How do you help our audience members become leaders in the workplace?
I always tell people that they need to really evaluate their skills when they're looking for work. And sometimes people would be really good entrepreneurs, but sometimes people are better off working for someone. You have to evaluate whether you like to do what people ask you to do or whether you're a thinker. You like to think outside of the box and do new initiatives. And once you've kind of evaluated your personality, then look at your skills. Do you need some computer training? Do you need some training in bookkeeping? What kind of training do you need? And then you need to look at what kind of training is available. First, you know, cost, of course, is important. If you don't have a lot of money, you have to think about what kind of training you can get for free. And obviously, if you're a person with a disability, you can contact rehab to assist you sometimes in getting additional training, college, et cetera. But some trainings you can do on your own. You can just find a specific related training, like you want to be a coach and get coaching training, et cetera. So I think first of all, you need to evaluate what you want to do, and then you have to look at what training you need, and then you can decide from there if you want to start your own business or whether you want to try to get a job.
You also provide advocacy training. I remember as a former college student, I found self-advocacy to be very important to my success in school. How do you train your audience members to advocate for themselves at home, school, work, or even in the public arena?
Well, the first thing you must learn is what the rules are. If there's laws pertaining to what you're trying to do, and if somebody has discriminated against you, you have to know what avenues are best to pursue. One of the things that I've done is I've written a booklet called A Guide to a Successful College Experience. And I wrote that when I was going to college, I had different challenges, getting readers, getting drivers, getting exactly what I needed from disabled student services, et cetera. And so I wrote this booklet to help potential college students to know what they really need to think about before they start college, because I think it would be very helpful. And a lot of things that I wrote in that booklet, I learned through trial and error. And I want to help other, you know, potential college students not to have to go through the same struggles that I went through. And obviously mine was a little unique because I was a non-traditional student. I didn't go right out of high school. There's just as many challenges for the kids going right into college because obviously they don't have the life experience, so sometimes they don't feel as confident about asking for assistance when they need it. And you really need to advocate for yourself because obviously a lot of people don't understand what you need, and they aren't going to understand what you need unless you really go out there and tell them what you need. And that's what advocacy really is just explaining what you need and how they can meet your needs.
How do you teach your audience members to battle stress and win?
The most important thing about battling stress is to be organized. You have to know your limits, know what you can do, because if you try too much, obviously you're going to have stress. And, of course, I have that issue myself. Sometimes I get into too many things that I have to get done by a limited amount of time. And it's better if I keep myself organized and then I try to set boundaries where I'm not going to work past a certain hour, so I have plenty of free time in the evening so I can spend it with my husband. And also, you know, do other activities. Just don't get so bogged down that you're not having fun time too. Everyone has to have a downtime in order to stay, you know, as stress-free as possible. And of course, exercise and good diet is very important to relieve stress. And then, of course, I think by viewing, you know, the future, you know, like you have, you can visualize something good. And if you're having a bad day, just get your thoughts off that negative thing and start thinking about something positive. And it gets your mind in a better light, and then you're not going to be as upset about things, and it'll bring you back to, hey, it's not that bad of a situation.
You've published a number of books on your advice. Two of them are called Success Simplified, Simple Solutions with Measurable Results. And you've also written a few books, too. This is the second series of books, by the way, in the Building Blocks to Success series. Tell us about these books.
Okay. The Success Simplified was a project I did for Innovators Group. It's a speaking group that helps people find speaking gigs. And I did this book with other speakers. And my chapter in the book was called I Can Do It. And I basically just kind of told how I do the things in my life, you know, setting goals, and how I was able to move through different areas of my life to reach the goals I've reached. And it was kind of a, they had several questions they asked me, and then I went through those and just gave them some steps where people can, you know, read that and kind of see how they can reach the goals they want to reach. The series, Building Blocks to Success, I wrote one specifically for churches, one for organizations, and one for businesses. And they're all based on image building. And I went from everything from looking at the attitude of the organization to newcomers, to how they build their database of members or customers, how they involve people if they have staff meetings, trainings, and for membership organizations, obviously, if they what kind of trainings they do. And I also talked about how you can partner with other organizations, whether it's nonprofit or whether it's other business-related businesses, and how you can do different things in the community together to improve both businesses or both organizations, because obviously collaboration, you know, helps any organization or business. How they can reach out to everyone, people with disabilities too, and if they have a conference or have a seminar, do they think about the audience if they have a place that is accessible for everyone to get to? Is it near a bus line for people who don't drive? Is there a bathroom nearby for people who maybe can't take the time to really look for a bathroom? A lot of different things that a lot of companies and organizations don't think about when they're planning an event. And I also, you know, brought up the idea about accessibility on websites, how it's important to make sure that everyone can access the information. And that is for newsletters, too. If they do a print newsletter, do they provide it in email for someone who wouldn't be able to read it in print? Could they put it on their website? Can they provide it in alternate formats, et cetera? So I kind of went through all the different things that organizations, churches, and businesses need to think about to be open to everyone in their community.
How can our listeners buy your books, attend your speaking events, and learn more about and contact you?
Okay. First of all, my website has a page. It's a shopping page that you can go to products and services, and it has a product link. and it lists all the books that I've written, both the compilation book as well as the Building Blocks to Success book. And I also have a book I wrote, My Family's Favorites, which is kind of a recipe book along with healthy tips and substitutions, et cetera. And they're all on my website, and people can order them in various formats, and then I would send them out, and they can pay online. They also can contact me. My contact information is on my website, but I'll also provide it here. My main website is bazyncommunications.com, and that's B-A-Z-Y-N, communications with an S.com. I do have a second website, artistbazin.com, but most of the information on that website is linked to my main site. I do a quarterly newsletter, which I have online, and people can ask to be added to that newsletter, and then they will get it in their email. And people can call me, 818-238-9321. If they'd like me to speak for their group, I speak for church groups, both full. I will do a special service for them if they want a special speaker on a Sunday morning, as well as doing special speaking for if there's a women's tea or a women's brunch, etc. And I also speak for businesses, and that's for all their employees or for an audience if they have a larger company, as well as for organizations if they have a regional or national conference. I travel all over. I've spoken in 39 different states, and I've also traveled internationally. So I'm always open to, you know, new places to go, new places to speak. I also do coaching by phone as well as in person for people who do not live near me. So I've done quite a number of coaching by phone episodes, and, you know, people have found those helpful. I also have an email. My email is abazyn@bazyncommunications.com. So anyone wants to call me and ask me a question about any of my services, I'd be happy to talk to them. I do provide a 30-minute free consultation to anyone who's interested in my services.
Artist, I believe that you're an inspiration to us all. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
Before we go, I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode and past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speak Out Blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.